693, please.
Authorize the Water Bureau to acquire certain property and easements necessary for construction of the corrosion control improvements project through the exercise of the city's eminent domain authority as a last resort.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. This is the project that we were hearing about or alluding to earlier to do the treatment facility, and so I'll turn it over to staff to give a presentation.
Great. My name is Ben Gossett. I'm the right-of-way manager of the Portland Water Bureau. Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
I'm here to talk to you about five properties where the Water Bureau will be acquiring easements. And on one of those properties, we will also be acquiring a small parcel in fee. These improvements are related to our corrosion control project that will reduce the corrosion of lead in the household plumbing. We have a PowerPoint for you. Just a moment, you'll see a map that'll give you the approximate locations of the easements. Incidentally, most of the easements are being revised within their existing location. Some of these easements are...
Yeah, if you can just grab the whole laptop and bring it closer to you if you want.
Got it.
Oops. Or the forward arrow works too.
There we go. So there's our project. You can see we're near our existing Lusted Hill treatment facility. The yellow dots on the map indicate where the Water Bureau will be acquiring permanent easements. As I mentioned, most of those easements are being revised within their existing limits. We're doing that because many of them are quite old. The Water Bureau has had facilities in this area for over 100 years, and we've added new facilities incrementally over that time. One of the easements will be expanded by about 15 feet on either side. That makes room for new pipelines, construction, and maintenance. And then on that map, the pink dot is a fee acquisition of about 1.66 acres of property. It's a particularly strategic location for the Water Bureau. It's one of the few locations in our system where our conduits all run together. And then on the next page, I'll show you some next steps. This ordinance is the first step in a process. The next step in the process is for the Water Bureau to hire an appraiser. All of the interests that are the subject of this ordinance will be appraised. Each of the owners is invited to accompany our appraiser on an inspection of the property. The appraiser will prepare written reports that outline the value. The Water Bureau will make offers to each of the owners based on that appraisal. We will offer the appraised value. Period of time is established both by statute, and the Water Bureau allows additional time for negotiation and to resolve problems with each of the owners. And then finally, this ordinance does authorize, or with your approval, will authorize the Water Bureau to file with the county for eminent domain. But I would like to stress that that's a last resort. We have an excellent track record of negotiating with owners and reaching agreements. I believe that's it for the presentation.
And I'm Teresa Elliott, Chief Engineer, and we're here to answer any questions.
And colleagues, I didn't have my talking points in the right place, so wanted to stress that this is a process, and that I've had ongoing discussions with the Transportation Department as well over the process of eminent domain. If council hasn't authorized it, then maybe staff feels uncomfortable approaching property owners with a specific here's how much we need, because we haven't authorized it yet. On the other hand, this is the time that council is authorizing the project, and so it seems reasonable to me that property owners would be specifically notified that we're thinking of taking 70,000 square feet. And so I think that there are some further discussions to be had with the property owners, and you just mentioned that that will happen. There's other issues in terms of how those negotiations happened, which thank you, Ben, for discussing that. I learned when I was on the Planning Commission that in some cases property owners want to have the condemnation because of the tax benefits of that versus a straight sale, and so that's called a friendly condemnation. May or may not be, it sounds like over the past many years that hasn't happened very often, because usually the terms are so favorable that even with paying the tax, condemnation is not necessary. Mm-hmm. But just wanted to let my colleagues know that I'm a little concerned about how we do things in general in the city, not just in the Water Bureau, and that I want to make sure that the property owners have enough time to get their concerns and questions answered. This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance, so we may or may not bring it back next week, depending on how those conversations go.
Thank you.
And it's my understanding that some of the properties that you were discussing already have easements, is that correct?
In fact, all of these properties have existing Water Bureau easements. And again, those have been acquired over more than 100 years. And so those are the easements in most cases that we'll be updating. We have a policy of bringing these old easements up to our current standard when we come across them with a capital improvement project such as this one.
Okay, thank you.
And we heard earlier about the need for the lead corrosion control facility. Mm-hmm. Is there anywhere else that this facility could be put other than this, and other than in this location?
The improvements to the Lusted Hill facility that will include the corrosion control facilities, the new facilities that we're building, these are really in addition to or being added to our existing facilities that are already in place. Short answer to your question is no, because they will be added to existing facilities.
And they need to be in.
And we're specifically connecting to the existing pipes at that location.
Right.
So, no.
We couldn't put it somewhere else.
No.
Thank you.
All right. Very good. Thank you. Then we'll move on to public testimony. Carl, I understand there's a number of people who'd like to testify.
Yes, we have four people signed up.
Very good. 3 minutes each, please, name for the record. And the microphones move around about 6 inches away is good. Carla will read your name.
Okay, first three, please, coming up are Lightning, D. White, and Charles Bridgecrane Johnson.
Ms. White, would you like to start, please?
You want me to go first, Lightning, or you want to go? Go on.
Okay.
I called your name.
Fine. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Superhumanity. I always have a real problem with eminent domain, the government stepping in on nuisance liens, foreclosures. So I have a problem with this. Now, if the private property owners are happy with it, fine. Have a happy day. But I don't think they are, and that's why we're at the table here to propose that in the event, and this is a real strategic move here on negotiating, in the event you don't agree to our appraiser that we'll bring out to your property and our number that we provide to you, we'll go into eminent domain. So really, you might want to take our first offer and just understand if you don't, we're going to end up with your property anyway. Now, what's interesting here too is that you have easements on four of the properties and one you're purchasing, and I assume the one you're purchasing is the Lusted Road Farms property, because when you're looking at the square footage analysis on these tracts, they're at about 72,000 on Lusted, and then you have for another tract, the Sandy River property, the DS track is 164,000. My position is that if you're going to do eminent domain in this area, forget the easements, purchase it, all the properties that everybody have. Combine them all together, be equitable, be fair, and give them the market rate. Now, here's the problem that I have. Since you're going to be so hostile, which you are, you're just hostile to these people, I'm not only going to ask for market value, I'm going to ask for double the value because of your hostility on eminent domain. There's no reason to do eminent domain. If I'm talking to you, Mayor Wheeler, and you're the owner, and I say, can we just buy your property? We're going to be doing a project here. We'll go under contract and let's move this deal forward. You say, fine. But you're coming in hostile to me and to them, and you're saying, no, if you don't accept our offer, we go right to a court. We go right to a judge. We'll take your property because we're the big, bad government. We can foreclose on your property for nuisance liens. We can come in and do eminent domain. And we don't care about your private property rights. Well, guess what? Appraisal value, double the price because of the way that you're being hostile on these negotiations. Double the price. I'm not happy with this. I'm not happy with this to move forward. And I vote no because of your hostility. Thank you.
Good morning.
My name is Dee. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, it's okay.
My name is Dee White. I'm very much against your plans to take this property from these five parties in order to lay pipes for a $20 million treatment project that has a five-year lifespan. According to your plans, once your other $500 million treatment plant is in place in 2027, plans are to close down entirely and abandon this treatment facility, including the pump station and the pipes. That's a five-year lifespan for this brand new facility, a pump station and pipes running through these properties, and all of these people's land will have been taken and torn up, new pipes laid. All of this will be shut down and abandoned. $20 million of ratepayer money wasted. How can y'all possibly be justified taking a toll on these parties like this and doing this to these parties as well as the damage that you're doing to the greater public good? I'm going to read from a Portland Water Bureau status report on this project that was put out last July, a year ago. Portland Water Bureau is aware of the short-term life of the potential of the short-term life of this current project, the cost impact of this facility, and the potential for stranded assets. So y'all are aware of it. Then it goes on to say that you're going to look and try to find some way to transfer the property and the new facility over to the treatment plant, to the filtration plant. And so then later, 2 months later, at a PUB meeting, which is the Oversight Committee for the Water Bureau, which, by the way, half of them resigned last month because of perceived bias and conflict of interest. Anyway, at the PUB meeting, another Water Bureau employee said, oh, well, the only thing that's going to be available to move over is some storage components because many of the feed equipment is going to reach its end of life. So again, you're going to be building this plant, laying these pipes, and closing it in 5 years. How in the world was this the best alternative, given that the EPA 3 years ago directed the Water Bureau to immediately take action to reduce the lead using already existing infrastructure? That's infrastructure that's at Lusted Hill that's already doing the corrosion control. Y'all had expanded it y'all expanded it 4 or 5 years ago when you were trying to foist fluoride on everybody, and we voted it down, but you expanded it anyway. So it's there, it's available, and shockingly, even now, after 3 years of EPA telling you, you're still failing to deliver us safe water. Again, I'm against taking of these parties for a temporary project that has a five-year lifespan.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you, Ms. White. Obviously, Ms. D. White is the expert on lead here among all of us that are gathered to talk about this right now. With this project, there's on the connected 17-page PDF, which is mostly the maps of the properties that will be affected by sending pipes to this facility, which we hear is only going to have a five-year service life. And we need to really, I think, she mentioned PUB. We didn't get a chance to fully say Portland Utilities Board. And it's sad to hear about the resignations and staff changes there, because it makes me think that we might actually need, for a change, the Cascade Policy Institute, which is usually wrong, but they should probably come and look at the overall running of the Portland Water Bureau and compare the capital expenditures incurred by the Portland Water Bureau on a pro-rata basis with a public water utility in New York, a public water utility that has beautiful open reservoirs still functioning. So on this particular Lusted Hill facility, where is the outside advice that tells us a five-year, $20 million facility is going to give us that slightly more alkaline water, and that magically in 5 years would have gone into all the homes that have lead solder and fixed that problem? I don't know. It seems like there's a missing overarching guidance of how we're going to deliver safe water in the most cost-effective manner, which is one of the reasons that the Water Bureau in the city was sued before. I didn't particularly agree with all the aspects of that suit, but the city lost, at least in part. And so, you know, it looks like ratepayers are going to have to look to other advocacy organizations, if not the Portland Utilities Board or Cascade Policy Institute, somebody else who's going to do outside analysis of the habit that seems to be developing. You know, the Water Bureau moves around to different commissioners, but for a place that's dealing with water, it seems pretty easy that burning money there. So I hope that some outside watchdogs will possibly be able to co-sign that this is a good investment, or explain to us why there are much better ways the Water Bureau can deliver safe drinking water without this expenditure and the impact on these property owners. Thank you.
Very good. And Carla, was there one other individual?
The last person who signed up is Cynthia Frazier.
Very good. Thank you.
Hello.
Morning.
I'm an attorney with Garvey Schubert Bayer in Portland, Oregon, and I'm representing Lusted Farms. I've been hired since Monday, so I'm getting up to speed, which is there's a lot to learn here. So in full disclosure, I did have a conversation this morning with City Attorney Karen Monahan, who's here, so I'm still learning. I presented a letter yesterday, which hopefully you have received, and I'm giving you this my background very briefly just so you understand that I'm approaching this from the pre-condemnation, pre-resolution standpoint. I was a Department of Justice attorney. That's how I started out, doing exclusively condemnation. And I then, in 2005, went to Garvey Schubert Bayer, where I now represent a lot of governments. And what I do for them is make sure they're following the Condemnation Procedures Act. That's primarily what I do. And then I do also do represent some property owners, which is why I'm here today. So my big concern here is whether or not you're going to meet the legal test of least private injury and greatest public good with respect to my client, Lusted Farms. Based on what I've learned and been told, which is changing, he only received notice that his property was going to be taken on July 2nd, and that it would be at this hearing that there would be a resolution for eminent domain. He has told me that he does not have any background information on whether or not this property is the only location for he's the 1.6 acres in fee. He does not know that. He has not seen any plans. He spoke with, and I actually spoke with yesterday, Monday afternoon, the agents that was actually going to be acquiring the property pursuant to the Condemnation Procedures Act, didn't even know what was going to go on this property himself. It's apparently, you know, still in design, but it's like secret. So my concern is, are we putting the horse and the cart in the wrong spot here? Has my client received adequate notice of what's going to happen out there? Has it been properly vetted that indeed this 1.66 acres is actually the correct spot for it to go? Otherwise, you're subjecting yourself as a legislative body to, did you have enough informed decision to pass this resolution that indeed this location is the least private injury and the greatest public good? And that's what I'm asking you to do, to pause here, give my client an opportunity to get a little bit of information, for me to get a little bit more information, and for us to evaluate whether or not you're going to meet that legal test. So thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Fish, did you have a question?
No, my understanding is Commissioner Fritz said that following this hearing, she'd evaluate whether to bring this back next week or at some future time. It would be inappropriate for us to engage an attorney in a public forum on this question. She's made an argument. We need to get confidential legal advice and then decide how to proceed. But I think it would be inappropriate for us to engage the merits of that argument before we get legal advice.
No, and I appreciate that. We're just looking for more information, and I appreciate, you know, this is your agency, and I've actually did work for the Water Bureau years ago on the Big Pipe Project. I was involved in the relocation of some very complicated things. So I do understand both sides, but I'm requesting a pause here so my client feels they have had full notice and opportunity to understand what's going there, and I understand whether or not, indeed, this is the only location where it makes logical, and I can explain to my client so that there is, I'm not trying to stop the project right now. I'm just trying to understand it, get him to understand it, and try to hopefully reach some type of a resolution so we do move forward with the normal Condemnation Procedures Act. And no one's ever happy when their property is taken by eminent domain. I know that. We all know that. And it's a process.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. I'm feeling really fortunate that you were engaged for this property, having had all of those different backgrounds and experiences. And certainly, I'm very willing to give you the time you need to talk with Karen Moynihan, the Water Bureau, until you have more time to understand, to get the facts of what's going on, what's not going on. So we'll look forward to talking with you and your clients over the next week at least, and if we need to extend it, I'm happy to do that.
Well, I would greatly appreciate that, and I would appreciate a little bit more time than one week if I could possibly have it. Thank you.
Or I guess let's leave it that if you're satisfied within a week, you can let me know. If not, we'll assume that it's going to go out a little bit further.
Thank you. I've got to satisfy a client too, so right. That's always... All right, thank you.
I understand that. Thank you so much for being here.
Very good. Thank you. Anything else on this? This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading.